This is 98.1 FM Raglan Community Radio, Irirangi o Whaingaroa. Hello, kia ora, my name is Jason. I teach holistic health and healing, and welcome to Your Health, Your Choice, a show that guides you on your healing journey, helping you choose your own healing path. And today, to help us on that healing path, I have Danielle. Danielle, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you.
So I came across you from my flatmate, Jocelyn.
Yep.
You guys are friends, and I was asking her, do you know anyone who's cool and knows stuff about health and that I could talk to on the show? And she mentioned you. And then we had a brief meeting and it was great. I mean, I love what you talk about around nutrition. You have a nice holistic perspective. But before we get into what it is you teach and do and help people with, how did you get into it?
Yeah, awesome. Well, so I originally started out going to university and studying a pre-vet degree, actually, through some interesting, you know, series of events where I didn't quite make it along with 500 other people.
No.
I cross-credited a lot of my science papers to a BSc in human nutrition and animal science. And I did that based on the fact that in my later years at high school, I also went through a little bit of disordered eating through more so, not so focused on body image, but I had a very high achiever mindset, academically driven. So it became eating healthy and exercising a lot became an outlet. And when I saw achievement in that, then it started to become more a bit of a achievement driven rather than health driven goal. Yeah.
It's not a bad one to have though, health, isn't it?
Yeah. Until you're losing too much weight and you know, not nourishing your body, so it
goes
becomes
into
malnourishment. Yeah. So when I didn't make vet, I thought, well, I want to be able to help people be healthy and live healthy. And in a way, you know, like most people, I would say, who go into the profession, is they also in a way want to help themselves. Yeah.
Yeah. And so what got you into the work that you do now specifically? Why this?
Yeah. So even though I studied science, over the years, once I had come out of university and started working with clients, and then also came through a few of my own other health challenges, like endometriosis and things like that, I discovered that there's a lot that my science degree didn't teach me about the human body, about other factors that we need to consider. Like,
so what were you doing before this, or what degree was it?
A BSc, so a Bachelor of Science in Human Nutrition. Animal science.
Was that like more the mainstream idea around nutrition? Yeah.
And also, obviously there was important things I needed to learn. So how, you know, biochemistry works within the body, physiology, and the components of certain nutrients like vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, all those sorts of things. But the overarching, I guess, ideal on how we should be approaching health was mainstream.
Yeah.
We touched a little bit on eating behavior, but we didn't really delve too deep into it. And I've discovered over the years that a lot of our health issues in general, on a physical level, can stem from mental, emotional, even spiritual, energetic imbalances within our being. So that's where, through, you know, seeing and working with clients and discovering that all the mainstream ideas weren't working for them, I had to dig a bit deeper to find a solution to help them, to guide them. And that was the same for me. The medical, you know, industry or field, I would, well, did kind of fail me a little bit. So
yeah,
I had
it
to
failed
find
me as well.
Yeah. So I had to find, you know, I'm not saying that, I mean, they're important in ways.
I call it a great emergency tool, Western medicine.
Yes.
Great. It's great if you're seconds or minutes from dying and you've got massive physical trauma, trauma and injury. Definitely go to your doctor. If you've got a broken arm, don't, you know, don't go see a Reiki or Chinese practitioner.
Yeah. It's more disease related. Like, if you want help to alleviate symptoms, to find the source of disease, or prevention, even when you're finding, you know, that you're seeing, experiencing certain symptoms that could lead to more of a disease, then that's where I feel, you know, branching out into more of that holistic approach can be very beneficial for a lot of people.
Yeah, it's great for chronic lifestyle issues. Yes. Lifestyle problems. But acute stuff, definitely Western medicine.
Yes.
Check them out. Yeah. But if it's, you know, it's been going for a long time, try complementary natural alternatives. Although is it an alternative? Maybe it's the native way.
yes. The indigenous way. Yes. Our innate way. The way that the body wants to work, which touches too on you know, a lot of what the philosophy that I've come to work with. And that's when I work with people, or even just people have questions, like friends, family, I always talk to them about how important it is to observe your whole environment, which, how are your thoughts, how are your emotions, how are you coping with stresses in your life? Because it's very hard to get rid of stress. You know, we experience it in this modern life, you know, on a daily basis. So it's probably more about what tools can you add to your toolkit to help cope with the stress so that it doesn't accumulate in the body and manifest as a physical issue.
Yeah, external stresses are always going to be there.
Yeah.
It's not about getting rid of them or hiding from them and denying them. It's about making yourself strong enough and resilient enough to handle them. And I talk a lot about stress bucket. Yeah. Everyone's got a different size of their stress bucket. They can handle so much stress, and then it starts to overflow, and then you get health symptoms and negative health symptoms. But
yeah, and that, you know, we also have belief systems too, which have a massive effect on the way our body runs physically as well. Because if someone, say for instance, has experienced a lot of traumatic issues or situations, they then can start to form a belief system that they are sick, they have sickness, they are ill, or, you know, in whatever way, shape or form that is. So holding on to that belief is just one part of not being able to heal from it. So there's many different, it's kind of like a cake. You have lots of different ingredients in the cake to make the cake. So that's how I would approach health and healing as well, is that there's many different facets that you can work on, maybe not all at once, but one thing alone is not going to bring about healing on a physical level.
It's that mindset we have in the West of convenience and wanting a quick fix and wanting it now and that one pill. But that's a myth. It's a lie. You know, there's no such thing.
Yes. Yeah. That's, I believe that too.
Yeah.
And one area, I guess, of science in the nutrition field that I feel is super promising is nutrigenomics. Have you ever heard of that?
Is that nutrition affecting your genes?
Yes. So it's the biocompounds within a food that, how do they interact with our DNA and affect gene expression? So how do they switch on a gene or switch up a gene, which affects a whole biochemical system within the body?
So we're talking about epigenetics?
No. So it's slightly different. So that's more environmental.
This is focused on the...
Yeah, just like a certain compound within a food. Yeah. Mm. So how I would, you know, relate that, I guess, say someone's got, you know, mild depression, and within a cacao bean is, you know, certain biocompounds that when you ingest them at a certain level, that switches on certain pathways within the brain, which promotes a hormonal release of serotonin and dopamine, which can give them, you know, happiness. That's why everyone loves chocolate.
I think you might be talking about anandamide, which is like the a feel good chemical in chocolate.
So that's kind of pathway. If we could utilize, we could understand on an individual level where our genes aren't quite, you know, turning on certain pathways that can provide higher cellular health, like higher antioxidant protection for our cells, so that disease is less prevalent.
In aging as well.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Then if we can hone in on that more, then, you know, that is far more, you know, beneficial than, say, taking a pharmaceutical drug or pill to solve our problems.
Right.
Although, you know, in our everyday life, no one has a gene DNA kit in their house, you know, so it's you know, no one has a science lab in their house. So from that perspective, what we can do or start to do is actually listen to our body, listen to what it's asking us to have. So in this way, we would need to start to work more towards listening to our intuition, because our intuition works with our body. Our body is actually very good at telling us what we need.
You see this with animals all the time.
Yes.
They know how much to eat, what they feel like eating. If they're feeling a bit sick, they might go and eat some plant or grass that makes them puke, you know, makes it come out. So they're very in tune with their body.
Yes.
But humans have sort of lost that with the processed food we have.
Yes, yeah. And all the subliminal messages of what we should and shouldn't be doing, all the information marketing, confusion too. It's no one really knows how to connect to their body anymore. So if you can quiet all that noise and learn to tune in, then that's, you know, that's going to be beneficial for you moving forward. And it's also around understanding our cravings too, because what I've sort of learned to understand is that when we crave a certain healthy food, usually there's a compound within that food that we're really needing, that our body wants to, as I say, switch on those neurological pathways or hormonal pathways to improve our cellular health. When we're craving not so good food, usually that's more of a behavioral, eating behavioral issue or a mental emotional desire to heal something that we're not looking at, but through food.
Mm. I was just looking up, I've got a chart of cravings.
Oh, yeah.
And what it is your body is actually wanting.
Yes.
I can bring it up. So, for example, chocolate, if you have a craving for chocolate, your body might be low in magnesium.
Yes.
If it's sugary foods, you could be after carbon or sulfur or tryptophan.
Yep.
If it's bread or pasta and carbs, you could be after nitrogen, like the body's feeling low in nitrogen. Mm. If it's oil and fatty foods, like you love that fried foods, it could be calcium. And yes, salty foods is chloride and silicone. So these cravings can be nutrient deficiencies, but also your trauma and other stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of interesting, because if you look at, for example, there's a really good one, broccoli.
Mm.
Now, I mean, I'm not sure. Some people might actually say that they crave broccoli. I mean, I was one of them. You know, like it's a genuine, like you just need it every day in your life. One of the sort of most potent compounds in broccoli is called sulforaphane. And that compound alone can increase the functioning of three different antioxidant pathways, master antioxidant pathways within the body. That's sort of what I'm pertaining to, is that when you're craving something, there's usually some sort of pathway in the body that is needing some help. So as you learn to understand those cravings, then you'll gain more understanding of your body. If you follow certain, you know, of the healthy cravings, say you wake up in the morning and you just feel like lemon, like you really just want a lemon, have that lemon, and then acknowledge and observe how you feel after having that lemon. You know, I get really excited when I have something that I'm really wanting. Like the other day, I really just wanted grapefruit juice. So I juiced some grapefruit and I drank it, and it just felt like my cells were, you know, it was just, oh, I just felt so good, you know. And when you feel that, you know that you've hit the spot of what your body was actually wanting. Yeah,
you've actually got the nourishment you've needed in that moment.
Yes.
In that time. I used to be like, when I was younger growing up, very, I had a sweet tooth, and I always just, I never had sour stuff, never had the lemon juice, never had that sort of thing, like straight up lemon juice without the sugar. But now, in the last 12 years, I've been craving more sour things. Being on this health journey, it's like my taste buds have changed, but also my body has reckoned, or I'm able to be in tune with my body. It doesn't want sugar. It wants more, you know, citrus and lemon and apple cider vinegar, but I'll find on certain days, so let's say I practice 7 days a week, I'll have apple cider vinegar with some water before bed. Some days it's fine. Other days it's a bit, it's strong. Yep. So that's telling me, oh, I probably had too much, right? The body's fine. It doesn't need it. Sometimes lemons are very sour. Sometimes lemons are sweet.
Yes.
Depending on what the body is wanting, which is what you're talking about.
Yes.
Listening to your body and just going by, yeah, how's that food feeling? Like I used to do, have at least once a week, I don't do it much now, is chicken liver and lamb's fry.
Mm-hmm.
That's strong. It's quite strong. Chicken liver is a lot lighter, but there'll be some days where it's difficult to eat. I'm forcing myself to eat. And other days it's like, this is like the sweetest thing in the world. This is like, and that's because the body's needing it at that time more than other times. Not that it's not bad to have it.
No.
Because it's whole food.
Yes.
But it's just, you'll notice your body's, when your body's missing something or not, based on how food tastes, real food tastes.
Yes. Yeah. 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 So it's quite magical, those moments when you start to learn that you have the power.
Mm.
Around your health as well, when you start to work with your body, often we're fighting a lot against it. Mm. And I see that a lot too in terms of exercise. You know, people get told, you know, to lose fat, you have to do high intensity training and you have to do all these heavy lifting of weights. And it's, you know, those exercises aren't bad again, but some people, if their nervous system is been running on high through high stressful, you know, work events or situations in their life, that kind of exercise is actually just going to add more stress to the body, and that's probably what the body does not want.
Yeah, that type of exercise would be adding to the stress bucket. And it's good if your stress bucket's low, because it adds to the bucket, but then when you heal and repair from it, it actually makes your bucket a lot more
strong,
resilient, stronger, or bigger. Like you're able to handle more stress.
Yes.
But if you're already at that, you know, at the peak of your bucket, and you're going to go out to do some exercise, probably not do some yoga, do some breathing, do some walking in nature.
Yeah, yeah. So that's where people need to start listening to their body rather than all the hype around, this is what you have to do to lose this, you know, and that goes along with everything around health, really, which is the message that I try and get across to my clients and people I talk to, is really just take note, listen, be observant, be open to information, but what resonates with you? What do you feel is best for you in that moment? And there's a real fine line between that and complacency as well. So not actually making change because you think, oh yeah, well, I don't really feel like doing that, you know? So there is a little bit of a mental, you know, fine line there. So it's learning to find that balance within yourself too. Like, okay, where am I not really pushing myself because I know that this is going to be positive for me, or where am I really feeling within me that this is guided for me to do, that is going to be most beneficial for me, if
and
that
takes
makes sense.
It takes a while to learn.
Yes.
To learn what you can handle and what you can't. And over time, the more you do something like exercise or eating real food, you'll be able to handle more exercise, and you'll understand what types of food you prefer. Like, there'll be people say, eat vegan or eat carnivore or eat keto. But you got to listen to your body, right? I always tell people, the only expert in your life is your body, you.
Yes.
That's the expert. Everyone else is just a finger pointing to the moon. Yes. Don't focus on the finger, because the moon is you. You're the moon. Focus on yourself and take all those finger pointing and just experiment. I call it experiment, right?
Yes.
Just try something out, see if it works. But
yes, perfect.
What do you recommend for that? Like a diary, like trying to track down things?
Yes, yeah. So, it's almost like you're becoming your own scientist of your own life. So recording down, you know, trialing things, experiment. And as you say, journal, write down what you observe. How does it make you feel? How does it change? But also be mindful that if you do find something that works, there could be a certain point of time where then again, you need to be open to more change. Mm. So everything needs to be fluid and flexible. Yeah. So it's not going to be constant. So having that mindset of openness and flexibility to move and flow and change with how your body's progressing, because you could say, for example, you could be doing, say, weightlifting, and that's beneficial for that time, and then something switches in your life and in your body, and then it's asking you to do more gentle things like walking in nature and doing some yoga and, you know, so flowing with those moments and flowing with that guidance and then recording and observing and seeing how you feel. And slowly over time, you'll create more of a balance and a more understanding, and the ability to hear your body greater will improve.
Yeah, as well. I like to say everything works, but nothing works forever.
Yes.
And so in terms of diet, for example, to me, there is one diet. It's one that's local and seasonal, which means it's always changing.
Yes.
And in terms of exercise, you know, I've had many times where I've got a plan for a month, for 6 weeks, for whatever. Yep. I'm going to do this. And then I injure myself.
Yeah.
Or, I you know, just something happens at work or something. I feel stressed. So the plan, you've got to be flexible.
Yes. Yes.
So make plans, have ideas, but you've got to change with change.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Yeah. And I think that's where sometimes, you know, that I say, you know, I'm not really for diets or challenges, you know, how you have a 28-day challenge or a diet of, you know, like paleo or something like that, because it creates this locked mindset around, not for everyone, but for a lot of people, a locked mindset around that is going to be the one golden thing that is going to create my forever health. And that can be very limiting. So when that stops to work, then people go, oh, it's not working anymore. And they give up and they revert back to old habits.
Because that was the one thing.
Yes. Yeah. Because that was the one thing. And so, you know, but that doesn't mean to say that you can't try paleo and you can't try being vegan and you can't, because you might find little golden gems within all of those that actually work for you and working with those. But again, it comes back to that, okay, let's be flexible and with an open mind.
I feel like you're describing my journey here, because when I first started, this was back in 2011, just learning about food as medicine. Like, yes. Food as medicine, what a random, you know, what a weird concept. And then, so in 2012, I did this, I did 12 months of logging.
Yep.
Every meal, what it was, logging my my bowel movements.
Yep.
Logging my mood, my energy. And I did that, and I've still got it. I've got it on a
That's amazing.
Spreadsheet. But I did that, and after that, I learned about, I could unconsciously see the portions of what I, you know, needed and wanted. I learned about foods and different things and learned about my body. But also I tried vegan for so many weeks and months. I tried carnivore. I've done all the diets.
Yes.
And now I'm at a space where Monday's this one, Tuesday's that one. So, right? It's no longer a long period for me.
Yep.
It's a daily thing. Where are we today? Are we plants? Are we fungi? Are we animal? Are we a mix? How much? Or carbs and protein and fats? And I'm more in flow with whatever's flowing out of my expression, you know, out of my my body. But yeah, I've gone through that and it's taken a long time, maybe probably a few years to get into that flow.
Yes.
But yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, and exactly. I've gone through it. Yeah, exactly. Exactly that. And that's the ideal space to be in. I mean, it can be hard with life, you know, because a lot of people do meal prep, you know, and so you've prepped this meal and then, oh, I've got to eat it, but it's not really what I'm feeling like today, you know, because you've prepped it on Sunday and you're at Wednesday and it's like, oh, you know.
I'll be honest, I've thrown some food out, which was part of the plan, but because I've moved to other food.
Yes.
And, you know, it's just gone back to the garden. I haven't just thrown it out and wasted it. But it's like, it's happened. It's like, this is going to happen. Actually, I'm going this way now. And then, oh, I forgot about that. And I've got to throw that out. But it's just, you know, I've got to listen to the body.
Yes. Yeah. And when you do, when you start to do that, you'll find that things flow a lot more better for you externally in life too. Your mood, how your productivity is in at work, your relationships with people. And you know, I find it's extremely difficult. I don't know about you, but going out to eat, because you know, when you're so in tune with your body, you're like, oh, not that, not that, not that. And you can spend hours, you know, 20 minutes trying to choose from a menu, scanning it. Okay, what do I feel like? And your friend's like, come on, just choose something. Oh, yeah, but I got to work with what feels good with my body. So, you know, there's those little things, but you move through it and you get through it and, you know.
And because if you do it long enough and get in tune with your body, you love yourself more.
Yes, exactly.
And there's less shame recede from others? Like, you don't feel that sort of pressure? You're like, I'm good. Like, I've been to 21st birthdays and I've fasted.
Yes.
Just because of what was there was just not going to work. And I was happy with it. People were looking at me and saying, Jason, what's wrong with you? I'm good, thank you. But, you know, I didn't feel any sort of pressure or anything because I was in a good spot.
Yes.
And I was looking after myself.
Yeah, and that would have been too because you were anchored in your higher purpose of...
People laughed at me and made jokes and be like, oh, it was okay.
So, that's another good point, anchoring into that greater purpose, what it's going to do for you, because when all that other noise comes in, as soon as you anchor into that greater purpose, so for you, that was going to be, you know, how good, you know, listening to yourself, listening to your body was making you feel, you didn't want to deviate from that, you know. So when you can find that higher purpose in terms of how that's going to benefit your life overall, then you get less swayed by those little temptations or, you know, like going out to drinks with friends, but you don't feel like alcohol, so you don't drink it. Everyone else is drinking, but you can still have a good time.
No, I just always have a club soda with lime. Yes.
And you're probably the life of the party, you know.
But on the flip side, because I don't want to think people have people think, oh man, that sounds, you know, pretty tough and pretty difficult.
No.
Just this past week, I advocate not to eat vegetable oils.
Yep.
And this past week, I caught up with a friend who took me to their local fish and chip shop, and she really wanted me to try this. And I was like, you know what? I am going to have this. I'm with my friend. We're in a cool spot.
Yep.
This is local. She really wants this. So, and I also share about that Chinese proverb, better to eat the wrong food with the right attitude.
Yes.
The right food with the wrong one. So I was okay then. So it's not all the time where I'm not going to do this. Yeah. Sometimes it's like, I'm diving in, but I'm diving in with love, not fear.
No.
I'm not afraid of this vegetable that this has been fried in. I'm loving this connection I'm having with my friend and the flavor, and I'm exploring the taste and the texture. So I'm actually excited to eat this.
Yes.
So if you come from love,
yes,
go for it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that is an important point, because so that's still part of your greater purpose though, you see, because that...
And I tuned in to what was coming up. If I didn't want to eat, I wouldn't it. But I felt like, I really want to eat this.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, there is that balance. And what I often find too is that, you know, you can get... Again, that comes back to the point of flexibility though too, doesn't it? Because, you know... feeling into the moment, you know, feeling into what's important to you. So if that social aspect, being with your friend, that whole experience was important to you. So that's where that, you know, that is going to be beneficial to you mentally and emotionally. Absolutely. Which is going to be beneficial to your health. Yeah. So, you know, we don't get too rigid on those sorts of things, but it's...
As long as you're coming from that loving space.
Yes, and, exactly.
You know, I teach 7 holistic lifestyle principles. Food is one of them. And... nature is the other one, and nature is around connection.
Yes.
And I actually prioritize it with nature above food. So the connection you have is more, it's going to be more nourishing to you than the food you're eating.
Yes.
Around that connection.
Yes.
So just keep that in mind.
Yes. So that comes down to another element of where I've grown in the holistic health, is more of the energy healing side of things. So when we speak about, well, when I speak about energy, I'm talking about, you know, the energy body, the energy field. A lot of people might refer to them as, you know, energy planes, or, you know, connected to the chakras of the body.
Or your aura.
Yeah, aura, yeah.
Things, I mean, like, they've done studies with you have like 3 major biological oscillators in the body.
Mm-hmm.
The heart's the strongest, the brain's the second, then your gut's the other one. And if they're in sync and in line and emitting...
mm-hmm.
you know, similar energy, you're all good. And if they're out of sync, things can go wrong. But I think that's what you're referring to.
Yes.
As well as other energy sensors in the body.
Yes. And sort of linking that to your comment about nature, is that we're an organism, a being on the planet. So the earth itself is a massive being. And when we connect with nature, we're connecting to the source of our planet, you know, Mother Earth, where our home, you know, so grounding into that, having appreciation and gratitude for what the earth has provided us. And I think that comes back to a lot of indigenous cultures, where they celebrated and they gave thanks to the food that the earth gave them, which in turn is definitely more nourishing when you practice that way, because there's a mutual giving and receiving of that vibration, that energy between the being and the earth and the food that it gives us. So that, like you say, that the heart space is where the gratitude, you know, is coming from. That oscillates a lot more energy than, you know, say a processed food. So when you're giving gratitude from your heart to the food that you're eating, to the earth, you're going to receive that back. And that's where the holistic health element that I work with comes into as well. So you're creating a wellness for your whole being. So it doesn't just become about the physical food that you eat anymore. It's that whole approach, like you're saying, to how you're eating and what you're eating. Yeah.
So it's like honoring the journey of the food from the source, which is where you're from as well.
Yes.
From the earth. And acknowledging that and giving thanks for it. I mean, I was told recently in that gratitude, well, there's many, but gratitude is one of the most powerful transformational energies when you practice it. And I practice it every night before bed. It's kind of like a cleanse of the day. You know, I'm giving gratitude for three different things. And I really feel myself shift into a better space just before bed. Some people do it in the morning. Mm-hmm. But it can, one nice way I heard of gratitude is it can turn nothing into something.
Yes.
But it can also turn something into nothing.
Yes.
So it's a great, depending on what you need, try gratitude.
That's really beautiful. Yeah. So, I think what people can take away from this is around generally that being that scientist in your life, experimenting with what works and what doesn't and flowing with that. And being patient, I mean, it's a massive amount of patience. And taking control of, you know, your own life in a way, rather than being thrown into the washing machine of what everyone else is saying you should and shouldn't be doing, you know.
It's like you're a white shirt and everyone's colours. And if you go into this washing machine with everyone else, you're going to just be like them and lose your identity, right?
Who am I? What am I doing here?
And now I'm all these different colours. I forgot who I am.
So and it's a beautiful journey when you start to, like you say, gain that self-love and start to understand who you are and how you function. But also having any sort of forgiveness for things that come up which makes you feel like you've been thrown off, you know, and
like you've failed.
And staying strong and getting back up on the horse and carrying on, you know, where that resilience comes in, so that you do and get guided to greater answers. You know, often, you know, I've heard it many a times, like, you won't receive anything that you're not strong enough to handle. And I mean, that's you know, easy to say when you're struggling or going through a hard time, but when you come out of it, you think, actually, like, I learned a lot from that. If you can, you know.
Yeah, I can imagine people thinking, no, this was too much for me.
Yes.
But you actually don't know how strong you are. And so I'll talk about it in a physical sense. There's a lot of people, including me, that go to the gym. I can't do this. I can't do that. All of a sudden, they lift this weight they never thought was possible. It was out of their realm of possibility.
Yes.
And they've lifted it.
Yes.
You can do the same thing emotionally and mentally.
Yes.
And spiritually. You can. You really can.
Yes.
It's about tapping into that. But it's also something we haven't really mentioned is no man's an island. You need your tribe, you need a dream team, you need people who support you on your path and your journey, and you need to serve others as well, because serving is a great giving and receiving of love. But you're a lot stronger than you think. I like to say, you think you have limits, but I think you are limitless.
Yes.
And I think that's true.
Yes, and that comes down to, again, those belief systems, you know.
They're called limiting beliefs for a reason, because they stop you. They stop you at this point where there's nothing there. It's all in your head. It's an imaginary border. that yes. doesn't exist except for your trauma, yes. except for your past, except yes. for your parents, your teacher, authority figures, whatever.
Yes.
There's something there that's blocking you. And we yes. all have them. Yes. I still have those as well. I'm still yes. working through mine. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why we're here. Earth school. Yeah. So it's a beautiful journey when you decide that you want it. You want to focus on it. Yeah. And I sort of go back to my own journey, and, you know, we touched on in the beginning how I got here with, you know, the medical system failing me. But even before that, I realized, you know, now hindsight, looking back, that I was much more in tune with my body than I realized at a really early age. So at about 2 years old, my mum and dad got really worried about me because I stopped eating completely. So before that, I was eating, you know, like baby food that had meat and all this kind of stuff in it. And then stopped eating it too. And I wouldn't eat meat anymore. I wouldn't eat anything. They tried to give me lollies. They tried to put anything in me. So I went to a specialist. Specialist said, oh, you know, this happens. It'll be fine. She'll come out of it. They're like, really? Like, I mean, my child's not eating anyway. Mm. So when I started eating again, I didn't eat meat. I ate very blandly. All I would eat would be growing up was pasta, peas and corn. Like, you know, like this is just bland. No salt, no nothing. Wow. Drink just milk and water. And it was only till sort of my teens really that I started expanding my palate. Mm. And then when I went to friends' houses, I'd have to take my own food because, I mean, I was that weird kid that didn't eat what everyone else ate. Mm. My family was all meat eaters and things like that. In my late teens and my early 20s, I started eating meat again, and they were probably the most unhealthiest years of my life. Mm. I had digestive issues. I had hormonal issues. And then when I came about my, what we call, you know, in a bit of an awakening, spiritual journey in my about 23 years old, I just went off meat again. I couldn't stand the some things were rapid, some things were slower. So red meat, or just instant fish, instantly off that. Chicken was a little bit longer, but yeah. And since then, I'm now 34, I haven't gone back to eating meat. Mm. But other food sources vary, like we say, we're tuning in daily to what works and what doesn't. But
yeah, like dairy, eggs.
Yeah, I have dairy and eggs. Yeah. Yeah. But some days, eggs, I'm like, oh, no, I don't want eggs.
I used to eat eggs a lot when I was in Auckland, but ever since I've moved to Raglan, just the lifestyle and availability of kitchens and stuff at the time.
Yeah.
It's just not part. I use it for baking, but yeah, I don't eat them so much. And my body's not missing them.
No. Yeah. And so, yeah, I guess that was one way of understanding that. Okay, at a really early age, obviously at 2 years old, I knew that that wasn't going to work for me because my journey thus far showed me in my later years that, it doesn't work for me. So that's one thing I do really kind of, it's effortless though to stick to for me. There's some people that go, you know, vegetarian or vegan, and they just think, oh, I just want meat again. So really, those kind of people should really probably have like meat in meat in their diet, you know. So that's where sort of like not sticking to one diet per se is good.
Is there anything else you'd like to share to leave people with? What's one thing that people can do for their nutrition after talking about? There is no one thing. Or what's a good first step, do you think?
Yeah, okay. So if we touch back on the main theme of what we've been really talking about is becoming that scientist in your own life. So as you did, you know, if people can have a journal, start recording, you know, maybe what they're craving that day, and choose one of the healthy foods that you're craving and follow that. Follow what your body is asking you to have, and then record how you're feeling after you have it. Physically, how does it make you feel? Emotionally and mentally, how does it make you feel? And then start observing. And working with that.
Be the observer. it sounds like we're talking about meditation, you know, because that's what you're doing in meditation is observing your thoughts. And now we're asking you to observe your food and how you're feeling.
Yeah. So it's
that's pretty cool.
Growing that self-awareness too, which is the basis of all long-standing sustainable change, I feel, is, you know, that's a really good base that you can work with.
I feel like we've got a part two conversation coming up. We can go a bit deep into things. But that was great. Danielle, thanks for coming on. How do people find you if they want to work with you?
Yeah, awesome. So I do have a website. It's www.activatedwellbeing.com. It's currently under renovation, so it's not functioning. But you can find me on Instagram, which is activated_wellbeing. And I also have a Facebook page, Activated Wellbeing, as well.
Where does that come from, Activated?
It's got a few meanings behind it. So I guess part of my spiritual journey was there's a lot of that word activation is there was a lot that awoke within me that I felt became activated that was dormant. But then also, you know, when you start putting healthy lifestyle changes in place, they become activated in your life and you want them to stay activated to create a well-being, which is your whole being.
I love that. That's a beautiful sign off. Stay activated.
Awesome.
Cool. Thanks. Thank you once again, Danielle, for coming on the show. It was a beautiful conversation. I really enjoyed that. And I was happy to be able to share my journey on getting in tune and being able to learn the language of my own body when it comes to food and how it affects me. And it's not a quick fix. It's going to take months and years. But trust me, once you invest that time and attention and energy into learning what works and doesn't work, you'll find life to be that much easier, that much more peaceful and loving and joyful. But it does take discipline and dedication. Make sure you've got a dream team around you, people who are there to support you, and it makes that journey to health and healing a lot easier and doable. So look up Danielle, activated_wellbeing on Instagram. She sounds like she has a beautiful holistic perspective on health, not just the physical but the metaphysical as well. So if that's a perspective that interests you, highly recommend looking her up. So that's it for me, and until next time, stay free, be yourself, know that you are loved, and that you are love. Kia kaha.